a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you this morning at Olson's Greenhouse with Brian Lloyd, telling you about all the fabulous things you can buy for Mother's Day from Home Depot, Costco, and Walmart. Let's get back to our phone lines and to our questions. Next person is asking, Ton, the leaves on the raspberry plants are turning yellow, but the veins are green. Do the raspberries need chelated iron?
They do. And it's still cool enough that they could probably get some benefit out of putting some iron down. USU actually has a fact sheet that details iron chlorosis in raspberries. And So this is for the benefit of Dave. If you do an internet search, not Google, but an internet search, yes, you're welcome, USU and iron chlorosis in raspberries, it will bring up the fact sheet with rates. But yeah, raspberries quite commonly get iron chlorosis.
Is there something people can put on their lawns in those areas where the dogs have done their business to maybe neutralize the acid?
It's not acid, it's salt that from the dog's urine that hurts the lawn. And so there's a product out there called Revive that people like. It, I think, has some surfactants in it and a few other things that you're supposed to apply to your lawn periodically, and it helps. The other thing that you can do that's free is if you know where the dog goes to the bathroom, take your hose out and just dilute it for a minute or two with your garden hose, and that will usually prevent the lawn from dying. The one I like to do is just go ahead and get an area of the yard, you know, a 5x10 area with some gravel, and take your dog there to go to the bathroom and train it to go to the bathroom there. That way, you know, it's easier to clean up. They're not ruining your lawn, and especially if they're indoor animals. And that's my preferred choice. It takes a little work, both in installing it and training the dogs, but it's the best thing to do. That way they don't ruin your lawn.
All right, let's take a call from Brett in Sandy. Good morning, Brett. How can we help you this morning?
Have your dog go to the bathroom there. And I said,
hello, Brett. You're on now. Good morning, Brett. How can we help you?
Hi. Sorry. Anyway, I cut down a pine tree and another tree, and I was thinking about replacing them with maybe Rose of Sharon.
I don't want
big trees anymore.
Okay. Are you wanting the tree form, Rose of Sharon, or the bush form?
You know, I don't know.
They're really one and the same. It's just that the tree forms have been trained like that. They normally would have been a bush, but as long as you have full sun, Rose of Sharon would be fine.
Needs full sun. This is in between the houses, so that might not be a good thing.
If you have a lot of afternoon shade especially, they will kind of live, but they won't really flower a lot.
Mm-hmm. And do they just have one flower, or do they flower all season long?
They flower from mid-July to frost, pretty much.
To frost, okay. And I noticed there's several different colors. Where's the best place to get, you know, a variety?
Any local garden center should have 5 to 10 different varieties, depending on the size of the garden center. If you wanted smaller ones, there's a new line out from Proven Winners called the Lil' Kim series, L-I-L, kind of like the rapper. But these Lil' Kim have multiple colors, whites, pinks, purple. So that's one that if you need smaller ones, is a great. And it's becoming more available, too. It's a great series.
Oh, okay. And most of the nurseries have them.
Yes. All of them should have at least a full size. And the Lil' Kim varieties are becoming more common.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Okay, thank you.
Thanks for your call. Next listener says they grew some morning glory, not bindweed, last year, and there was a lot of foliage, but no blooms. They want to know, do these need to be pinched, or is there something else they can do to get them to bloom?
Brian can chime in on this, too, but if they have a lot of foliage, it could have been too much water and too much fertilizer.
Okay.
On the morning glories, that's one thing I've noticed on the annual morning glory, is that as you grow them, if they're getting not really too much water, but too much water, and you love them a little too much with excessive fertilizer, that would prevent them from blooming.
That's the case with a lot of annuals. You know, blooming is a natural response to stress. It's the way a plant wants to reproduce itself, right? So a lot of times if we can just stress the plant out a little bit by not making it so happy, we can get more blooms.
All right, let's take a call from Derek in Linden. Good morning, Derek.
Hi. I have a golden rain tree that we planted last spring, and it hasn't bloomed yet this year. Is it a lost cause? Do I just need to pull it out and replace it?
Well, the golden rain tree is one. Now, you're talking golden rain and not golden chain, right?
Right.
Golden rain's a late spring to early summer bloomer, so you've got another month at least before you'll see blossoms on golden rain. The golden chain trees, the laburnums, are the ones that are blooming now.
All right. Yeah, it's the one with the pods with the seeds on them. Is that?
Yeah. It's as tough as nails tree. I like the tree in many situations, but it's another month to 45 days before you'll see blossoms.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Maria, Brian brought up a point earlier about the harsh winter we had, the lack of snow, and the damage it's done to a lot of perennials that I really, you know, I've seen it, but it didn't really come to me when we were talking to that gentleman earlier about why some of his perennials may have died out over the winter.
Yeah, it's, a lot of us know that evergreens are affected by dry winters and that we need to get out and give some supplemental water, even though a lot of our deciduous things are dormant. Perennials still might need some water if we don't get snow cover covering them up, especially if you get a lot of cold winter wind with no water and the ground is dry. They're still respirating a little bit, and sometimes that can cause some die-off if we don't supplement that water. You don't need to do it very often, but maybe once every 3 weeks if we don't have snow cover like we did this last winter. But that could be a reason for winter die-off.
Yeah, so hook a hose up to a hose bib off of your home, give them a little bit of water, and then take that hose, drain it out, take it back into your shed. But that is actually, I've noticed a lot of shrubs this year that had a lot of, especially the tips dried from that, from the lack of snow and just how dry we were. And that is definitely a good reason why perennials wouldn't, especially planted last year, wouldn't overwinter.
Right. Brian, we are out at Olson's Greenhouse today to talk about all the fun things you have for moms, all the things people can plant right now. Give us some ideas of what we should buy mom this Mother's Day.
Well, this is a great time of year to plant anything. And so anything that mom's little heart desires, we have for you. And we sell Olson's Greenhouse, grows our flowers right here in the Mountain Valleys of Utah. So if your mom loves a container or a hanging basket and loves to decorate her patio or porch, we have tons of selection and almost every color under the rainbow that might make her happy. But if she's burnt out on those types of things, what I'd like to do is maybe step out of the box. You know, everybody gets mom a hanging basket for Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Why not give her a perennial that'll come back year after year and remind her of your love for a long, long time?
You know, as my mother got older, I liked to buy the perennials and then plant them for her.
Yeah, that's a great act.
I'd still get her favorite
service.
Geraniums, but I would buy a few perennials to fill in, too.
Exactly. And if she's maybe not into the perennials and likes more of the bright colors of annuals, we have this beautiful Love That Grows planter that's got the Amore petunia in the middle of a Calibrachoa and Verbena. It's a combination planter, but that Amore petunia is the star of the show. It's got a heart shape in every bloom. It's a bicolor petunia with hearts. What a better way to show mom love than to give her a heart in every bloom of your petunia.
Right. People can find these at Home Depot. Are they still at Costco? They're
we actually have the Amore petunias in Costco as well as Walmart, too. You can find Amore petunia. But the specific Love That Grows brand of container that we have that includes a gift card where you can write mom a message, that's only available at your local Home Depot.
All right. Well, we've had a great time being here today. We're not done yet, but, man, it's been fun being out here in the greenhouse, watching all the baskets go by. Oh. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Coming back with more of your questions and calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you. We are at Olson's Greenhouse with Brian Lloyd today. Let's go back to our phone lines and let's hear from Susan in Kearns. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. I think I have grubs in my grass.
Okay, what's going on?
Well, I have several brown spots, but in the front yard, last year it was just a small spot, and this year it is really almost a fourth of my lawn.
Okay, did the lawn come out of the winter looking worse?
Yeah.
Okay, it may actually be snow mold, and that initial brown spot could have been something else. Because if the lawn, where it is not brown, went into the winter relatively healthy and then came out dead, that's usually snow mold that knocks it out. There's really not much you can do about it. Do you see any recovery of those dead areas yet?
Not really.
Okay. And is it still spreading?
The roots are just gone. We haven't gone out there and raked it up or anything yet, but I think we're going to have to just rake it all up and either put some pot in there or something.
You could, but the damage is not spreading right now?
It might be a little bit.
Because if it were snow mold, this damage would have stopped, and you could maybe see a little residual death or something, but it's a little early for grubs, but not sod webworm. But if the damage really isn't spreading that fat quickly, I doubt that it's sod webworm. So at this point, what I would do is rake it up, get down to the soil, loosen the soil, and relay sod or put new seed in.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your call this morning. We have had several. We never get to all of the questions, sadly. But one that I'm seeing recur a number of times here is about the weather and planting today and putting out hanging baskets today. So, Ton and Brian, I want you to talk about that for a minute. Are people safe to plant today, Ton?
You know, this is a kind of an old wives' tale that I like to debunk a little bit, because there are several things that you've been able to plant for over a month now, and some things like perennials and pansies, we've been able to plant for 2 or 3 months now. So yes, the answer is there are a lot of things you can put out now. It's only the most tender stuff that I would be careful with, but even that, now's a great time to plant. The upcoming cool weather will help it actually do better after that transplanting that happens. And you can, of course, put out containers and hanging baskets. And if for some reason we get into the 30s or low 30s, then you want to watch by variety and maybe protect either with a sheet or bring it into the garage for the night.
What kinds of things should people watch out for? What are those sensitive plants, Tom?
Well, the most sensitive plants out there, you know, some of the herbs like the basil, if you're growing that, you even say cold or frost around basil and it seems to wilt a little bit. That's probably the most sensitive one. I know not a lot of people are growing it, but that's the most sensitive. But if you are in your watermelon and cantaloupe, the melons that are more tropical or really warm climate plants, you need to watch really carefully. Sometimes green beans, if you've already got those up, can be sensitive. And then, Brian, are there any particular annuals they should be worried about?
So the main most sensitive varieties of annuals are sweet potato vine, Ipomea. That doesn't like anything. It's just like basil. It doesn't like anything really below 40 degrees. And then impatiens and dahlias, those are some of the more sensitive things. But things like petunias and geraniums, they're more hardy than people give them credit for. We actually put a podcast out. Olson's Greenhouse sponsors a podcast called Dig in the Yard, and we have an episode that's posting this weekend that talks all about this, what varieties are transitional that you can put out right away, and which varieties to watch out for because they're more tender.
All right. So as far as the hanging planters, you can bring those in. Just don't hook them to your drip system quite yet, because that's what I like to do, is hook them to the drip system. Because you could bring those in if it got too windy and you were worried about them, or the temperature dropped a little bit.
And it's nice because hanging baskets don't need to be watered as often this time of year. You know, later in the summer, we'll have to water every day, if not twice a day. And that's when it's great to have a drip system. But my hanging baskets that I've had out displayed in my yard for the last month, I've only been watering every 3 or 4 days, if even that, when we get some cooler temperatures. You don't need to water as often. And then when we've touched 80 degrees, I might water them for sure every day during those short spells. But the best thing is you can take them in and protect them either in the house or in a garage if we get down into the low 30s.
All right. The next person is asking about tomatoes. What is it going to freeze tonight, or are they going to be harmed if the temperatures drop too low?
All they can really do is watch the weather for their particular area. I know we're supposed to be down into the 30s for at least cooler areas of the Wasatch Front. And I honestly would wait until Monday when we're regularly in the 40s at night before I'd put my tomatoes in. If you do want to put them in today, that's fine. But just because sometimes tomatoes, especially if they're not hardened, are damaged, even though they're not frozen, they can be damaged by temperatures in the low 30s, then you may consider covering them with a sheet, as Brian said, or something similar, just to keep them a little bit warmer.
Next person has a tomato question. They're saying they planted tomatoes last year, and the plant started dying from the bottom up, and they're wondering if they had a fungus in the soil. Didn't matter which variety of tomato it was, they all started dying at the same point in the summer.
There could be several things going on, and you really need to catch that as it's going on, but there's early blight, late blight, tobacco spotted wilt. I mean, there's so many things that could be going on that if they have it happen again, plant the tomatoes in a new spot, and if they see it, get pictures to their local extension office so they can get further diagnosis.
Next person says they have pumpkins that won't produce in pots. They have a very small yard. Any tips on how to grow them in pots?
Big pot with artificial soil. Those pumpkins just have so much volume that, you know, easily a 15 to a 20-gallon pot by volume would be needed to really for that pumpkin to grow. There's a few smaller varieties out there, but you just need a lot of soil volume for them.
Next person says they're told that their trees need iron. What would be the best way to put iron on their trees?
The iron should have gone down about a month ago, but they can still maybe get some benefit now. They want to get either Miller, Ferra Plus, or Grow More Chelated Iron, the two common ones. And then they'll mix that in 5-gallon buckets according to whatever the label recommends, and then drench it under the canopy of the tree, not just around the trunk, but go out and around the canopy and back and forth, and then hope for the best from there. Once they've drenched it, they water for 10 or 15 minutes to flush iron into the soil.
We have just a little over a minute left, guys. A great weekend. It's Mother's Day. Brian, you have so many fun things for people to go purchase at Home Depot or Walmart or Costco.
Yeah, we've been shipping semi-load after semi-load. We're actually shipping just out of this location in Utah over 40 semi-loads every single day out to your local stores. So if you're looking for something special for mom, we've got it at your local Home Depot or Walmart. And some Costco still has a few plants left as well. They like to get in and out really quickly. But Olson's Greenhouse supplies all those stores across the Wasatch Front and throughout the state of Utah.
It's been fun to be in the greenhouse and see how things happen here. See all the workers, seeing all the plants going out. Wow.
The sights and smells, there's nothing like being in this industry and in this job specifically. But the great thing is you can enjoy all that in your yard as well just by recreating a small little section of something that you grow yourself.
I am going to plant my tomatoes today, Ton.
Do it.
But I'm going to put walls of water around them just to make sure.
Just for a few days. And if we get down to the 30s, put them back.
And thanks for joining us this morning for the KSL Greenhouse Show. We appreciate your listening. Make sure you check out the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. So many fun things on that page. You will find videos on how to put together your spring containers, the one that Brian did with us, and other fun things, how to make sure your geraniums do well this spring. So thanks again for joining us. Catch us again next week, 8 to 11.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on kslpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.